You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, this morning, we're going to continue the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Whisper. We're talking about hearing the voice of God. Are you enjoying this series? I hope you are. This is also our life groups study. So if you're not plugged into a life group, it's not too late to get into a group. Just go to our website, go to Connect, find a group, jump in for the next few weeks so you can get the most out of this series. You can order the book Whisper by Mark Batterson. Just go to Amazon or wherever you get your books and get the most out of this series. But here's the idea of this series. I'll just recap it for you. The idea is that when God speaks to us, he often speaks in a whisper. And you and me, we live in a culture where we're used to having everything shouted at us. You know, the marketing world bombards us with marketing messages of things we need to buy 24/7, right? And we have these phones that are always buzzing and going off all the time. Now you even have the Redemption app to be buzzing in your ear. Put that on your phone. But we're always getting bombarded with messages. We live in a crazy, busy, loud city. How many of you know, come on, this New York City area, it never stops, right? And people are loud and they're screaming. And if, you know, somebody, if you walk in front of somebody the wrong way on the sidewalk in New York, you can get yelled at pretty quick, can't you? Some little old lady will tell you off. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so we're used to everything being shouted at us, but when God speaks to us, he often speaks in a whisper. And to hear a whisper, you have to lean in. You have to get close, right? And that's what God wants. God wants us to be so close that we can hear his voice, but in doing so, we also hear his heart for us because he wants to know us. We believe that God is a God who's still speaking. And so the question is, are we listening? Are we tuned in above all the clutter and noise to hear his voice? Now, last week, Pastor Jim, he talked about finding our whispering spot. Wasn't that a good message? And he talked about finding that place and making time to tune into the voice of God. This week, I want to talk to you about the primary language that God uses to speak to us. So as I mentioned, I'm just coming home from a week of being in Sweden, and while I was in Sweden, you know, these Scandinavian countries, they speak very good English. They're some of the best English-speaking nations outside of the UK in Europe. Sweden is a small country population-wise, only about 10 million people. And so Swedes understand that outside of their country, nobody else speaks Swedish. It's not like German or French and Spanish that's spoken in other parts of the world. So from a very young age, the Swedes learn how to speak English very well. They're some of the best English speakers. I met Swedish people over there who honestly could pass for Americans. Their accent was so good with English. And so while I was there, it was easy to forget at times that English wasn't these people's first language. In fact, the pastor's conference I was a part of, there were some other nations represented there. There were some Norwegians there. So the whole conference was actually in English. But every now and then, I had these reminders that this wasn't their primary language. I would go out to coffee or lunch with some of the other pastors, and they would spontaneously break into a conversation in Swedish, right? And I was kind of left out. There was one time when a pastor got up to lead a prayer meeting. He said to the other pastors, I'm going to lead the prayer meeting in Swedish because I can't think as creatively in English as I can in my native tongue. Well, that makes sense. In one of the training sessions, I was training some church planters, and they kind of cut my time a little bit short, so I started talking really fast. If you've been at Redemption for any time, you know I'm a fast preacher. You have to listen fast because I talk fast, don't I? And so one of the older gentlemen came up to me after the session. He said, I really enjoyed your teaching. He said, but man, you speak English really fast. We need you to slow down a little bit. And so I had these reminders that English wasn't their primary language. Now, God speaks to us in many ways. God has many languages. He speaks with many voices. Sometimes God speaks to us in that still, small voice, the voice of our inner conscience. God can speak to us through other believers. He can use someone to bring a prophetic word or a word of wisdom or a word that encourages us and speaks to our situation. God can speak to us through our dreams, through promptings, through longings. God can even speak to us in our pain. You know, some of the best seasons of life where God really has our attention is when we're in a season of pain and crying out to him. But the primary language of God, the primary voice where we can hear his voice is Scripture. So here's the main idea for today's message. If you want to discern the voice of God, it starts with Scripture. You can put that in your notes today. How many of you want to be able to better discern the voice of God in your life? You want to be more tuned into His voice. You want to know that God's voice is guiding you. You want to know His will for your life. Maybe you have some big decisions to make. You want Him, you know, guiding your steps, your career, your marriage, your family. Yeah, that's why we're here. We want to be tuned into the voice of God. We want to know that His will is guiding our lives. And that starts with Scripture. And this is more important than ever before because we live in a culture that values tolerance over truth. How many of you know this to be true? We live in a culture where, you know, everybody's truth is equally valid. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. All viewpoints are equally valid. And if we're not careful, that kind of thinking can actually begin to invade the way we think and the way we practice and live out our faith. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for democracy. I'm thankful that we live in a country where we have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. I think we can all learn from each other. It's good to have different viewpoints. So I'm all for that. But this idea that, like, you know, all truths are equally valid is just insane. I mean, there are terrorists who are killing people, blowing people up every day, who are motivated by an ideology that they believe is very true. They believe their viewpoint is valid. And we all know that's totally wrong, don't we? And so this thing eventually breaks down if you follow it to its conclusion. We know that murder is wrong. We know that rape is wrong. We know that theft is wrong. And why is that? Because human beings have an inner moral compass that God placed on the inside of us, don't we? Furthermore, as Christians, we not only have the inner moral compass, but we have the Word of God. We believe that the Scriptures, the Bible, is the inspired Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe that Scripture is it's the final authority in matters of faith and doctrine. When we look for guidance on those things, when we look to settle the things of doctrine and theology and faith, we look to the Scriptures primarily, right? Scripture is the primary guide for our lives as Christians. We need a moral compass. We need a foundation upon which to build our lives because culture changes, trends change, attitudes toward morality change. But how many of you know that the Word of God is timeless? It is a firm foundation that you can build your life on. In a shifting and crazy world that we live in, where attitudes and morality is always shifting, the Word of God is a firm foundation that you can build your life on. That's a good spot to say amen. And so Scripture is the primary source for hearing God's voice. I want to give you a few thoughts about that, okay? And you can just take out your brand new Redemption app and put some notes in there. Scripture is our primary source for hearing God's voice because, number one, Scripture is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter writes about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, he writes this: "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So Peter's talking about the inspiration of Scripture, the source of Scripture. And he says that the writers of the Bible of Scripture were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. See, Scripture is both the product of humanity and God. God used human beings to write down Scripture, but the Holy Spirit was involved in the process. The writers of the Bible, they were guided, they were inspired, they were taught by the Holy Spirit, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we pick up Scripture and we begin to read it, and we take for granted that, you know, that it's like just any other book. We just get so used to it. We're so familiar with it, right? I mean, come on. You can get the Bible in so many different translations. You can order a Bible that's custom, you know, just to how you want it, with the color palette that matches your clothing and your skin tone on the cover, whatever. There's so many ways we can just customize Scripture. It's so readily available to us that sometimes we treat it like any other book. But you need to realize that it's not like any other book. When you open Scripture, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit caused it to come into existence. He put the words in the prophets' mouths. He moved on the psalmist's hearts. He's the one who guided the apostles as they wrote letters and epistles. There's something different about this book. It's unlike anything else that we can read. You know, think about a letter. Isn't it nice to get a handwritten letter every now and then? I mean, I know this is the year 2018, and we have some young people in here who have never received a handwritten letter. That's a thing of the ancient past for you. I know we live in a world of texting and emails and digital communication, but it's nice to get a handwritten like thank you card every now and then, isn't it? Some of us are old enough to remember back in the day when we used to actually write love letters to each other. You know, back when guys couldn't just hide behind social media and texting, we had to muster up the courage to actually call girls and write letters to them. Any of you guys remember those days? Come on, guys. We had to have some courage compared to these sissies today. Are you with me? We can teach these guys something this morning. Let me help you. So I remember back in the day when Amy and I first started dating. We were in Bible college in Texas, and we started dating my senior year of college, and it was the spring semester. And that summer, Amy decided to stay in Texas and to work, and I went home to Louisiana. And so we really missed each other, right, because we were in love, and it was our first summer apart from each other. And that was back in the day when you had to wait till after 9 o'clock to have unlimited minutes to talk. You remember those days? So we couldn't wait till like 9 o'clock, and we'd get on the phone and just stay on the phone for like hours just talking to each other. And, you know, it was beautiful. We were in love, and the birds were singing, and, you know, the squirrels were chirping. It was amazing. And every now and then, we would send letters to each other, you know, and it was special to get a letter from Amy. I'd get that letter in the mail, and usually she sprayed some perfume on it. Come on, somebody. It smelled good, and I just wanted to hold it. And I'd hold it to my chest because it was the closest thing I could get to her, you know. And then I would open that letter, and I would read those words. I would savor those words where Amy would tell me how she couldn't live without me, you know, how she missed me so bad. How she wanted to marry me and be the mother of my children. Amen. Somebody. And I would read those words, you know, and it was like I could hear her voice. You know, and of course I would write her back, you know, my best stuff. I would throw my Shakespeare at her, everything that I had, as romantic as I could. Something, I convinced her some kind of way. She agreed to marry me. But you know, the beautiful thing is when you get a handwritten letter like that, you can hear the person's voice, can't you? It's like you can hear their voice come through. And see, when we read Scripture, we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I have good news for you this morning. Scripture is God's love letter to you. God wants to speak to you. He wants to get through to you. And so when we read Scripture, it's unlike anything else. You can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And do you know, one of the things we need to learn to practice is just invite the Holy Spirit to read along with you. I've learned to do that as I do my devotions sometimes in the morning, to just stop and say, now, Holy Spirit, read with me this morning. I don't want to just do this mechanically. I don't want to just do this habitually. I want to do this in a way that, like, I'm open to reading along with you so that you can take Scripture and cause it to come alive to me. And can I tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that doesn't line up with Scripture? The Holy Spirit's never going to speak to you and tell you to do something that doesn't line up with the very word that he inspired, the words that he put in the prophet's mouths. You know, we can hear from God a lot of different ways. We talked about that before. You know, there's prophecies and there's dreams and visions, and all of those things are wonderful. And if you read the book Whisper, it gets into that and talks about many of the different ways we can hear God's voice. But we always measure it against Scripture. Scripture is the primary language. We always measure the way God speaks to us. It should line up with Scripture. You know, I've had believers come to me at times and tell me that God was telling them to do something that didn't line up with God's word. I mean, it's crazy. I've had men come to me and say, God's telling me to leave my wife for another woman. And I said, listen, man, you might be hearing voices. I don't doubt that you're hearing voices in your head, but it's not the voice of the Holy Spirit you're hearing, because the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to do something that doesn't line up with the very word that he inspired. And so we always measure the voice, any voice that comes to us, any word that's given to us, by the primary voice of Scripture. Okay? So let me ask you this morning. Let me just challenge you. Is Scripture just one more voice in your life, or is it the primary voice? I mean, is it Scripture and the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and your godmother and your Uncle Vinny or whoever who's speaking to you, or is this voice elevated? Because sometimes, you know, we get just so comfortable with Scripture that we allow it to speak alongside of all these other voices, but we need to elevate this to the primary language by which we hear God's voice, because when you read Scripture, it's unlike any other book. You can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's the second thing, okay? We're talking about how Scripture's our primary source for hearing God's voice. And the second reason is because Scripture brings life. Somebody say life. Scripture brings life to us. the Apostle Paul, he wrote to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he actually warned Timothy about all of the different voices that were out there that could be deceptive and confusing, and he reminded Timothy to hold on to the firm foundation of Scripture. And this is what he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. He said, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So in describing how the Scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul calls them God-breathed. And I love that because this is a word picture that's just pregnant with meaning. You see, in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, in the original Hebrew language, the same word for spirit is the same word for breath and for wind. And so we get this picture that God breathed his spirit into the words of Scripture. You know, in the creation story, we read about how God created Adam, right? And we read how it says that God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living being. And once you know this word picture, you realize that it's almost this picture that the spirit was breathed into man. Same word for breath, for spirit. It's like the animating force, the life force of God was breathed into creation, into humanity at creation. And so here's the amazing thing. Here's what Paul's telling us. When we read Scripture, that same voice, that same wind and breath of the Spirit, it can breathe on us. It can breathe on us afresh. God wants to breathe life into us. It's like you can receive spiritual CPR. Come on, there's some times in life where we're just limping along, barely making it, and we need to be spiritually resuscitated. Anybody in here ever needed some spiritual oxygen? You needed some spiritual resuscitation. That's what happens when we encounter the Scriptures, the very same Spirit that was breathed into creation that caused humanity to come alive is the same Spirit that can breathe on you when you open up the Scriptures. The Message paraphrase of 2 Timothy that we just read, 3:16 through 17, puts it this way. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are, listen to this, put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. I love that phrase. We're put together and we're shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. See, God is still in the creation business. God is building us. He's shaping us. He's making us into something, right? The Scripture says, whoever's in Christ is a new creation. You and me, we're under construction. The same Holy Spirit that breathed into Adam is the same Holy Spirit that drew us to Christ in the first place. You know, today is actually a holy day on the church calendar. Today's the day of Pentecost. It's the day when we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. It's basically the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, church, by the way. It's the day when the Spirit was poured out and the church was born. And think about this, right? Now that you know this little word study, the same Spirit that caused humanity to come alive is the same Spirit that was breathed upon the early disciples. The Scripture says he came in like a rushing wind. Same imagery, right? Spirit was poured out on the people and the church was born. Do you see where I'm going here? It's the same Spirit that's creative, that's alive, that's bringing us to life, that's growing us, that's building us up and putting us together and shaping us, okay? And so we have to understand that Scripture can bring life where there's death. Scripture can bring fresh life to you in areas of your life where things have become stale and dead. And so there's power in claiming the promises of God for your life. There's power in praying Scripture. I mean, you might be going through a season of anxiety, and then you get to the Scripture in Philippians that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, right? But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You might be going through a season of fear, just fear of the unknown, just overwhelming fear that's just paralyzing you, and you go to the Psalms, and you're reminded of the words of Psalm 23, where David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Come on, maybe you need healing in your life, healing in your body, healing in your mind, and you come across the Scripture that says, I am the Lord who healeth thee, right? By your stripes, I'm healed. And you just grab a hold of that promise. Are you with me this morning? Maybe somebody's coming at you. Somebody's talking about you. You're having a little friction, a little tension around the office, and you're feeling like there's some opposition in your life, and you get a hold of the scripture that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Get out of my face, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on, you can claim the promises of God. Maybe you're going through a season of life where you've been struggling with sin, and you're tempted to feel, you know, overwhelmed with guilt and condemnation, and like, does God even hear my prayers? Am I forgiven? Do I still have a relationship with him? And you come across the scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can grab a hold of that. Are you with me this morning, church? This is a good time to say amen. Say, thank you, God. The word of God could breathe life into your situation. We got to understand that the Bible is not just a collection of wise sayings written by dead people. We read it that way sometimes, but it can come alive to us. Think about the difference between reading a book that's written by an author that's passed compared to a book that's written by an author who's still alive. You know, we read books by dead people all the time. Some of the most famous books that we read, we analyze them, we research them, and we try to understand their meaning. In history class, you might read about, you know, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and you might study it. Or maybe, you know, in school, you studied Shakespeare. You read his sonnets, his poetry, and his plays, and you analyze them, and you research them, and you study them. Or maybe you read someone like C.S. Lewis, and you try to understand the imagery. But imagine this. If the author is alive, imagine going to hear, you know, a world-class professor who wrote a book, and you can ask him questions or go into a book signing and meeting the author. You can get fresh interpretation. You can get perspective, clarification. You can get illumination. And that's what happens when we read scripture. I have good news for you. The author is still alive and well, and he can take the scripture and cause it to come alive and to speak into your life. The writer of Hebrews put it this way, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He said, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Have you ever had a time where you opened your Bible and you were reading some scripture and it spoke exactly to your situation? I mean, it was almost scary, right? Like, okay, God, you've got my attention. Have you had that experience before? Sometimes that'll happen, right? Like a scripture will just come to you that speaks exactly to your situation. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Like this scripture, it's able to cut straight through to what's going on in our hearts. And the truth is, you know, sometimes we get to certain portions of scripture and we're reading it and we don't like that portion of scripture because it's a little bit convicting. We kind of fast forward really quick. We kind of speed read. That's the time to slow down. That's the time to slow down because the Holy Spirit wants to speak life into you. He wants to correct. He wants to challenge, sometimes encourage, but sometimes rebuke. And we need that because that's what brings life to us. And so you got to know that the scriptures are alive. They can come alive and they can speak to your situation. They can speak to your need. Some of you, you're going through a season of life right now where the need is great. I want to encourage you, get your nose into the word of God and allow the scriptures to breathe life into you and to speak to your needs and your situation. Now, I want to give you a few practical things this morning to leave you with. Just a few practical steps, four practical steps that we can take to hear God's voice in Scripture. Okay, so put these in your notes this morning. Number one, first one, this is the most obvious one, read. Number one, read. You got to actually start somewhere, okay? Yeah, actually, you got to do this. Take the step of reading. But let me give you some thoughts here, okay? Find a translation that makes sense to you. The NIV is a translation I teach from often. It's a very middle-of-the-road contemporary translation, okay? It'll help you know the these and thous and all that kind of Elizabethan language from back in the day in the King James isn't very easy to understand at times. So find a translation that you can read. Find a regular time and place to read Scripture, just like we need that whispering spot to hear God's voice. Scripture, we need a time for that. We need to be strategic and intentional, okay? Have a plan. One of the greatest things you can do is download the Bible app. You can get that on your phone, and it's inside of the Redemption app as well. You can read from the different plans that are there. There's all kinds of different plans. In fact, you can search for a plan that speaks to your need. maybe you're going through a difficult time. You can look up a plan on finances or health or relationships or marriage or whatever. There's all kind of wonderful plans that will help you. You can buy a good study Bible. There are study Bibles that come with all kind of studies. You can look up something you're praying about, some need in your life, and there's all kind of scriptures there that will guide you. Okay, so get reading, but be intentional. It's better to have a plan than to read randomly. I heard a story about a guy who thought he was being very spiritual. And what he would do is he would open the Bible and just point to a scripture and read the first scripture that he found. Anybody ever done this before? And so he thought he was being spiritual. He opened the Bible and he put his finger on the first scripture he could find. And he looked down and the scripture said, Judas went away and hanged himself. Well, that was a little depressing. Not exactly inspiring, right? So he closed his Bible. He opened it again and he put his finger on the next scripture he could find. And the next scripture said, go and do likewise. Come on, you don't want to do that, okay? We don't want to read the scriptures haphazardly. You want to have a plan, okay? And let's just be honest, there are certain parts of the Bible that are difficult to read, so it's good to have a plan, especially if you're new to scripture. The Bible app will really help you out, but you got to get reading. Here's the second thing. First step is to read. The second step is to meditate. Everybody say meditate. We want to meditate on God's word. This is the part where we allow scripture to read us, where we allow scripture to speak to us. This is what the writer of Hebrews was talking about, where we allow scripture to penetrate our hearts. We think about it. We explore it. We say, God, you know, how are you speaking to me? How does this scripture speak to my life? And it's okay to admit there are some portions of scripture that will speak to your life more practically than others, okay? I enjoy reading the genealogies in the Bible, but they've never actually ever spoken life to me. I'm just going to be honest. but we have to practice this time of meditation when we read God's word. The author of Whisper, Mark Batterson, puts it this way. He says, the goal isn't just getting through the Bible. The goal is getting the Bible through us. That's what meditation does. Meditation gets the word of God into our hearts. It gets it inside of us. Think of it this way. It's meditating. The difference between reading and meditating is the difference between a fast food experience and a fine dining experience. You know the difference, right? Every now and then when I'm in the city and I'm walking around maybe with my kids or some friends and I'm busy, I go to Central Park and I go visit one of the food trucks, you know, the halal guys, right? I go and get a gyro or something because I want something quick, right? I want something easy and fast. That's the whole point. It's fast and I can carry it around as I'm walking around the city. But that's a different experience than if I go out to a nice restaurant with my wife, because the whole point is to sit and enjoy the time together and to savor the meal, right? So the wait staff comes out and brings you some drinks, and then maybe you order some appetizers, and the appetizers come and you enjoy those, and then you wait for a little bit of time, you know, let the appetizers digest a little bit, then they bring you a salad, you know, then you eat some salad, and the wait staff's timing this, right? The really good wait staff knows we need some time in between the courses, and then after that's done, if you're at a really nice restaurant, they might even come and just sweep your table off, right? You ever seen that? The little brushes and just comb your table, make you feel really special, and then they bring you the main course, bring the meal to you, and you enjoy that. They give you time. Nobody's rushing you. And then when you finish that meal, maybe they give you a little more time before they bring you dessert and coffee and tea, because it's an experience. You're supposed to take your time. You're supposed to let each course go down a little bit. You're savoring it. It's part of the whole experience. And see, here's the thing. Reading without meditating is like eating without digesting. We need to savor the Word of God. We need to think about it. We need to allow it to get inside of our heart. Spend some time meditating on it. It'll get inside of you. You'll digest it. So reading is the first step. Meditating is the second step. The third step is to pray. We want to pray through the scriptures. Okay? Take some time to allow scriptures to shape your prayers. The best prayers are prayers that are shaped by the Word of God. If you're new to prayer, maybe you're new to church and you're not even quite sure where to start with prayer, one of the best things you can do is get into the scriptures. We did a whole series at the beginning of the year called Praying the Psalms. You can go back to the podcast and find that in January. And the whole idea was to allow the Psalms, which is the ancient song and prayer book of God's people, to allow those Psalms to shape our prayers. And so a great place to inform your prayers is the Word of God. See, the will of God is found in the Word of God. So you can be confident when you pray prayers that have been shaped by Scripture. Have you ever been through a season of life where you weren't even sure how to pray? Maybe you were confused. You weren't sure what God's will is. You were like, God, you know, I want to pray, but I'm not even sure where to start. I'm not sure if I'm praying according to your will. Can I tell you that you can be confident? You can be bold in your prayers. If you're praying prayers that have been informed by Scripture, you can be confident that you're praying according to God's will. And there's power in claiming the promises of God, as we said before. You know, there's a verse that says all of God's promises are yes and amen. That means if you come across a scripture, it's a promise of God's blessing, then you just have permission to go ahead and grab a hold of that scripture and claim the promises of God for your life. And you can begin to pray those things. Pray those things for your family, for your friends, for your loved ones, for those you care about. So there's power in praying the word of God. So we want to read scripture. We want to meditate on it. We want to allow it to shape our prayers. Listen, if you read scripture and you come across something that convicts you, that's a time to pray it out. Say, God, thank you for showing me that thing in my life. Like, you know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so thank you that, God, you've shined light on something in my life, and I want to just bring that to you. I do that all the time when I read scripture. That's a good thing to do. If you're reading scripture and nothing is challenging you, I want to tell you you're not reading it correctly, okay? Go back and read it and be sensitive to the Spirit, because there should be some things that are encouraging us, but there should be some things that are challenging us as we read scripture. And here's the fourth thing. Number four is do. Read, meditate, pray, and do it. Put it into practice. The Apostle James says this in James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. We've got to put scripture into practice. It's not enough to just read it. It's not enough to just to go through the exercise. You know, sometimes we read scripture and we just reread it. And we get to the end of the chapter. We're like, we're not even sure what we read. It was like we're just checking off a box. Has it ever happened to you? It's happened to me sometimes. I'll get to the end of a chapter and I'm like, you know, I have to go back and reread that because I just kind of read it, wasn't even paying attention. But the whole point is to read it, to meditate it, meditate upon it, and then to pray it, and then go out and do what Scripture says. Pastor Rick Warren, the author of the best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says, we only believe the parts of Scripture that we do. Isn't that true? We really only believe the parts of Scripture that we do. We can talk all day long about, oh, I believe in the Bible. I believe in the truth of God's word. Yeah, I believe Scripture should be the foundation of my life. But the reality is we only believe the parts of Scripture that we do. And there's some challenging parts in there, isn't there? But with God's help, we can begin to do it. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to do it. You know, last week we talked about finding our whispering spot, finding a place of solitude, stillness, silence and rest, so we can tune some things out. We got to empty ourselves. That's the first part, right? That's the first part of this whole thing of hearing God's voice. You got to empty yourself. But then there's another part. There's the part where we fill ourselves with the voice of God. Scripture is one of the ways we do that. You know, in Eastern meditation, it's all about just emptying your mind. In the Christian version of meditation, it's about emptying the mind and then filling your mind with the voice of God, filling your mind with the things of God. And Scripture is one of the ways that we do that. Can I just encourage you this morning? If you deposit God's word in your heart, it's going to be there when you need it. The scripture says, God, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want to encourage you this morning. There's no time wasted in the Scripture. If you read it, if you deposit it, it's like digging a well. It's like digging a reservoir. It's going to be there in the time when you need it. But we got to fill ourselves with this. We got to fill ourselves with this. How would your life be different if you had a reservoir of God's word on the inside of you? If you had a storage, if you had a well, if you had a place to go to? I mean, think about the way we usually typically handle difficult seasons of life. We complain, we fuss, we fight. Come on, sometimes we overeat. We turn to all these different things to cope with our problems. How would things be different if you had a deposit, a well of the voice of God on the inside of you because you've been in Scripture? Because you've prioritized hearing the voice of God in Scripture. Can I just encourage you? There's some of you, you weren't a very good school kid. Like, it was hard for you to retain information when you studied. Maybe you're not the best reader. Your reading comprehension, that's not your strongest thing. Maybe you're good at something else. Can I encourage you this morning? There's something supernatural that happens when you read the Word of God. The Holy Spirit that breathed into creation, the Holy Spirit that breathed on the apostles and created the church, the Holy Spirit that drew you and me to Christ in the first place, the Holy Spirit who, for those of you who aren't even sure what you believe today, but something's tugging on your heart, that same Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and bring it back to your remembrance when you need it. It'll be there. It'll be there. But you got to do your part. You got to dig that well. You got to fill that reservoir. Look at this scripture. Let me show you this scripture one last time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 from the Message. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. Come on, reading scripture is not about some tedious discipline that you have to do. Oh, I've got to read scripture today. I've got to read this boring book. It's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. Can I tell you some of the greatest promises of my life came from reading scripture? Can I tell you some of the greatest dreams that were birthed in my heart came from times of reading scripture? Some of the greatest moments I've had with God were times when I got alone and I got in His Word and He spoke to my heart. He spoke to me what nobody else could speak into my life. I want to tell you that God is working in you. The scripture says God is putting us together. He's shaping us. And you know what the building blocks come from? They come from His Word. When you get a hold of His promises for your life, when you get a hold of His wisdom, when you get a hold of His encouragement, when you get a hold of His rebuke in the areas of your life where you need correction, that's how you assemble this thing. You get the building blocks when you hear His voice, when you get your nose in the Word of God. Amen, somebody. So I got good news for you today. He's building you. He's building you. He's shaping you. He's making you into the husband, the wife that He wants you to be. He's making you into the mother, the father that He wants you to be. He's making you into the brother, the sister, the friend, the co-worker, the believer that He knows you can be. And one of the ways He does it, one of the primary ways He does it, is He gives you the building blocks in Scripture. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. Here's our prayer this morning on this third week of this Whisper series is to recommit ourselves again to say, God, I am prioritizing hearing Your voice in my life. God, I don't want to miss everything that You have for me. I don't want to miss Your will. I don't want to miss Your plan for my life. I want to live in harmony with You. I want to be synced up with You. I want my ears to be tuned and my heart to be more open than ever before to Your voice. For some of you who this is really brand new to you, it's a big leap of faith for you, I just encourage you to take the first step. Say, God, I'm open to hearing Your voice. And God, if You're real, make Yourself more real to me. He will. He'll begin to speak to you. He can work with a prayer like that. And today we're going to pray and say, God, give us a love for Your Word. God, rekindle in us a passion, God, to know You, to get into Your Word, God. To hide Your Word in our hearts, oh God, that we might not sin against You, to dig that well, to build that reservoir. Would you pray with me? It's a prayer of commitment. Just pray along with me this morning. Let's just make this personal. We're going to sing a final worship song in just a moment, but let's pray together. God, we thank You this morning for Your presence. Lord, we thank You that You are a God who's still speaking. You didn't speak years ago and then go silent, but You're a God who wants to speak to us. You're a God who wants to know us. You're a God who wants to have a relationship with us. And God, we thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You that You've given us this guide for our lives, that it's a foundation for our lives. You've given us a moral compass to guide us. And Lord, this morning we are recommitting ourselves. We make it personal. God, I recommit myself to prioritize hearing Your voice. Want Your voice guiding my life. Want Your voice guiding my marriage. Want Your voice guiding my relationships. I want Your voice guiding my home. Want Your voice guiding my decisions, my finances, my career. God, I've got to hear from You. God, give us a love for Your Word. Give us a love for Your Word. Give us, Lord, let us grow in this grace, in this daily discipline of being in Your Word, God. And let us come to the Scriptures with anticipation to hear Your promises for our lives, wisdom for our lives. God, we thank You that Your Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. You are shaping us. You are building us. You are making us. God, remind us that there's a world all around us that needs us to become everything You desire us to become. People need us, God. Become everything You desire us to become. And so we say, speak to us, God. We thank You for it. We want to hear Your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.